The following program may contain material that is unsuitable for some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Aftermath Radio should not be considered a substitute for services provided by a licensed mental health professional. Good afternoon and welcome to Aftermath Radio, brought to you live from the K-Beach radio station at Cal State Long Beach.
We're live. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Welcome to Aftermath Radio, Dr. Robert Jung, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State, where we talk about all things psychopathic. If you'd like to talk to either I or the Aftermath Radio crew, please do call us at area code 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio, where Chantal Fahmy is awaiting your Skypes, right?
Indeed I am.
So you can chat with Chant over there. Did you see how she just took command of the board right there?
Yeah, she did.
Is that allowed?
Because my mic was off.
Was it off?
Was all the way down.
Oh, okay. Well, see, she knows.
There might be
maybe
a reason for that.
Maybe you can hop on the board one of these days, Chant.
Probably not.
She sort of breached some kind of board etiquette there.
No.
Etiquette. Yeah, I'm having word-finding problems today.
Yeah, I know, but I...
It's better
scared
that she...
that what if my mic was on, and then I had to say, yeah. Gee, you gotta throw
and
my
mic
might, up.
We might miss some brilliant gem of philosophy.
Absolutely.
Just because of a technical error, yeah. Where was I? Did I get to the email yet?
No.
Email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com, and as always, we encourage you to go to our website, aftermathradio.org, where amongst all of the many resources available for survivors of psychopathy, we do have our podcast, which we actually don't have up yet from this season, but I'm working on it.
None of them.
It's something's...
Jeez.
Ouch. I was working on it over the weekend, okay? So I just didn't... And something's screwy with our website, with where the podcasts are. I don't know why. It won't let me edit the text. It's like kind of weird.
It won't let you, as in like...
But it doesn't. It's like kind of moody, kind of twitchy, you know what I mean? Like it's not consistent. So I am working on that. I'm going to get all of these quality podcasts up there, hopefully by this weekend. So
no, hopefully. You will do it.
I will do it. And so who's tweeting this time around? And do we have the tweet sound effect, by the way?
Yes, we have the chirp.
Right. Okay, so who's handling the tweets?
Is that me?
Yes.
Yes, me. I'm excited.
Do we get any tweets yet? Well, you have to tweet out. According to management, we have to do it at least once per show.
So I'm doing Aftermath Radio's Twitter, and she's using
She's whatting? She's ooting? I don't think you're allowed to oot in here. I think there was a memo on that, too.
I meant to say using and doing.
So ooting? That doesn't even make sense. In psychology, that's called a neologism, by the way.
God.
Completely made up word.
Well,
in case you're wondering.
Uting?
Uting or uting? I don't know.
Well, as far as tweeting out from this computer, it's locked and I can't get in. So.
Okay, so Chance handling the tweeting as well?
Yes.
Indeed.
And then are we Facebooking or are we... Because we're supposed to Facebook too. Is Dominic behind me right now making faces?
No, it's Evan.
All right. So, yeah, we got lots of ways we're branching out, reaching out, trying to get the word out here from K-Beach. Anyway, today I'm very excited to have on the show later on Dr. Jill Rickey, licensed psychologist in Tallahassee, Florida, who is coming on to talk about when the psychopath leaves you, what to expect and how to gain your sanity back. And actually, Dr. Rickey has had some really good luck in connecting with folks in her area of the country. And a lot of that has been due to the podcast that she does here. Like, people will actually hear her and then contact her directly.
That's awesome.
And she's able to help them that way, yeah. So, I guess that's a success story, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so...
Do we have a Q&A from mail? Is that what's going on?
I don't think we have anything.
Oh, well, you said...
I had something I wanted to talk about, but I really didn't have anything. We did have a couple of voicemails, but they hung up on us. Who's she looking at?
Uh-oh.
Management.
Oh, here comes management right now.
So we can tweet.
Because we don't want to violate the tweet rule.
What's the tweet rule? Oh, that we're tweeting twice.
Is it twice or once per show?
It was supposed to be twice.
Okay. Anyway, so I am supposed to make the announcement. I made the announcement last week that next week on the show we're having Dr. Robert Hare. It's been a long time coming. We're really excited about having
really
him.
Really excited.
And so we got to make sure all of this equipment is working, right?
Yes.
So.
Oh, yeah. That's no pressure, Dr. Shug. No,
no
pressure.
I mean, not one mistake. Right?
God.
Anyway, we're really excited to have him on. We certainly would encourage you all to call in with questions. I mean, I think, you know, how often do you get to have a conversation with Bob Hare regarding psychopathy, you know?
Do you want to remind our listeners why he's important and who he is?
Well, yes, I do and I will. And one of the things that I have in front of me, for a couple of reasons, but it's one of the original articles that he wrote back in the 90s about psychopathy. This was actually a very seminal piece. It was called Psychopathy, a Clinical Construct Whose Time Has Come. And this was in a journal called Criminal Justice and Behavior. This was March 1996. Volume 23, number 1, pages 25 to 54, in case any of you want to go to the library and pull that one out. But and I mean, this was a time where he was really sort of advocating for this construct of psychopathy, this measurable thing that we could use in research, and then hopefully, you know, it would have all these different implications in other areas. But I thought, in the spirit of having him on next week, and just to whet the listener's appetites, I would read a little bit from this piece.
I think that's a great idea.
A little reading for you. Do we have any reading music?
No.
No? How'd management do on that? I don't know. He's got that look.
Still working.
But I am tweeting.
You're tweeting. Yeah. Good. Okay. So anyway, G, were you going to say something? Sorry.
No, nothing. Continue reading.
All right. It's amazing how like aware and sensitive I can be to people who are talking in the room around me, right?
Sure.
Even when it seems like I have no clue what's going on.
Because I can never really see your face.
I know. How do you feel about that?
It's just weird. All I see is the top of your head.
I can see Chantal.
That's why I always have to peek over.
That's what that's for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So anyway, Robert Hare writes in this piece, Psychopathy, a Clinical Construct Whose Time Has Come. And I think it's important to review this material from time to time because it really lets you know kind of what we're dealing with here on the show and grounds us in the literature, if you will. So Dr. Hare writes, psychopaths can be described as intraspecies predators who use charm, manipulation, intimidation, and violence to control others and to satisfy their own selfish needs. Lacking in conscience and in feelings for others, they cold-bloodedly take what they want and do as they please, violating social norms and expectations without the slightest sense of guilt or regret. Viewed in this way, it is not surprising that in spite of their small numbers, perhaps 1% of the general population, they make up from 15% to 25% of our prison populations and are responsible for a markedly disproportionate amount of the serious crime, violence, and social distress in every society. Furthermore, their depredations affect virtually everyone at one time or another because they form a significant proportion of persistent criminals, drug dealers, spouse and child abusers, swindlers and conmen, mercenaries, corrupt politicians, unethical lawyers, terrorists, cult leaders, black marketeers, gang members, and radical political activists. They are well represented in the business and corporate world, particularly during chaotic restructuring, where the rules and their enforcement are lax and accountability is difficult to determine. He was actually quoting Paul Babak there. It is not uncommon for psychopaths to emerge as quote-unquote patriots and quote-unquote saviors in societies experiencing social, economic, and political upheaval. And he uses as an example, I don't know if you guys remember this, back in the 90s, Rwanda, the former Yugoslavia, and the former Soviet Union. Wrapped in the flag, they enrich themselves by callously exploiting ethnic, cultural, or racial tensions and grievances. So there you go. I mean, again, to kind of make the point that we're not just talking about serial killers, which is a point that seems like we're commonly making on the show because it's a common misconception of the folks that we talk to. And it's interesting, I think, now, you know, reading these words and you look at all of the upheaval occurring around the world today, right? So, I mean, it seems like this piece that he wrote, you know, gosh, coming up on 15, 20 years ago is as relevant, if not more relevant, today. And the need to sort of look out for these psychopathic individuals because of the damage that they can cause, particularly in these sort of turbulent times. And it goes on, and I don't know that I'm going to go too much more into it, but again, we're really happy to have him on the show next week. I think that's going to be really cool. And I think the point I was going to make is that, you know, or did I make the point about calling in and talking to him?
You did.
Okay. So we definitely encourage that. If you have If you have voicemails you want to leave for us to play on the air next week, or if you want to write me emails to read over the air to him, we can do all of that. We can make it a very interactive thing. What do you guys think we should ask him?
Ooh. Yeah, that's...
Well, in policy class a couple of weeks ago, we heard a...
clip from NPR.
Yeah, talking about how they're consistently using the checklist now to... What was it for?
For incarceration, right?
Yeah, they're using it as a way... I mean, and he talks on it. He's speaking about it and saying mm-hmm. that's not, you know, its original intention. But they're using it as a way to determine if offenders will recidivate or not.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Well, there's... No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know that's it. Uh-huh. And it was like a 14-minute long piece, but he speaks on it for the last 5 minutes, I believe. And it didn't seem like it reached any definitive answers.
Right. Well, the idea being that... Yet we can identify the folks coming out of prison that are going to recidivate and therefore, you know, cause us to sort of keep them in, right?
Right.
Based on a high score on the psychopathy checklist. And that's very controversial because – and then the argument that some of these psychopathy checklists that are done in prisons aren't even done correctly, mm-hmm. you know. And so it this label of psychopathy – like, did I play you guys that video that in theory class last year? It was about psychopathy. I think actually it might have been where that piece came from. But there's like this – it's just for dramatic effect. There's like this stamp like that says psychopathy, right? And just to sort of make the point that, wow, the word has all this
–
right. Once you're labeled, it's really hard to get unlabeled, if not impossible.
Right.
And yeah, I believe you're right. I believe that was not his original intention. I think his original intention was just to be able to study psychopaths from – from a research point of view, from a scientific point of view, coming up with a valid way to conceptualize it and measure it. So problem is we find out that, you know, that measure seems to be correlated with all these measures of recidivism. You know, correlation does not mean causation, right?
Exactly.
But if you find an association, if you find a relationship, well, and then do you ignore that? You know what I mean? Do you just say, okay, well, there might be a relationship between psychopathy and recidivism, but we just pretend it doesn't exist? Or, you know, if 8 out of 10 psychopaths, I don't know what the rates are, but if they recidivate, do we just ignore that and let them all out anyway? You know, would you say that was ethics class or which class was that?
Policy.
Yep. Oh, Dina's class, mm-hmm. policy class. Yeah, I mean, so, and that's a really good question for that class. You know, all of these policy implications for that measure. I thought you were going to mention. Oh, I know you told me to rap, and I will rap, Gigi. But
got a couple more minutes.
Not like yo rap, but like to finish rap, right? But I thought you were going to talk about all these kind of ad hoc, informal psychopathy checklists that you hear about in the media, or you know, the people giving each other. Isn't there like a psychopathy app for iPhones?
Yeah.
Wasn't Brian talking about that?
I downloaded that one.
The fish head thing?
Fish mm-hmm. head, yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to ask Bob Hare about that, you know,
yeah.
how he feels about his...
Honestly, to me, I think it's a little bit more scary and slightly frustrating if they're going to be using the checklist for a completely different reason than it was intended to, and if the people who are... What's the word? Not conducting it, but...
It's not ooting. That's not the word, right? Who are administering it, right?
Administering it are not
trained or doing it the way they were trained to do, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's scary because you were saying exactly about the labeling is if they do get a high score and they weren't ever planning on recidivating, then...
Right. Where does that leave you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your next boyfriend could be stuck in prison right now because of the psychopathy checklist being used improperly, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we gotta go commercial. Gigi's
I haven't said anything.
Not enforcing the rule. Okay. Did we tweet yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Aftermath Radio, we'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Bob and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
Though you cannot make a conclusive diagnosis of psychopathy without adequate interview and file information, several of the behaviors reported in this case seem broadly consistent with traits and characteristics commonly associated with psychopathy. None of the comments made here should be interpreted as a formal diagnosis based on an appropriate psychopathy assessment.
Aftermath Radio, Dr. Robert Jugg, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State. If you'd like to speak with us, please do call us at area code 562-912-3541. 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. Email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And go to our website, aftermathradio.org, and click on the link in the lower left-hand corner where you can access our podcasts. I just got a tweet at 4:15 p.m. coming up shortly, Dr. Jill Rickey on Aftermath Radio on KBeach Radio. Stay tuned, and there are 3 exclamation marks. So that's enthusiasm for you.
Yes, it is.
Right. We have on the line Jane from Wiltshire. Jane, are you there?
Hi, Jane is here.
Jane's here. How are you tonight, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah.
Now, Jane has been on the show several times, and in a nutshell, Jane, how can you sum up your previous experience with a psychopath, or someone you believe to be a psychopath?
Right. I first knew him from work, so we worked together, and I was just getting to know him, and we kind of worked together for a while without me knowing his name, and then just like, yeah, and also he became my boyfriend, so we dated for a couple of months, less than 1 year, and also he was a very active member of the Catholic Church, and I was like a non-Catholic Christian, so I went to his church about 10 times as a visitor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so sort of a romantic interest then.
Like a colleague, church member, and boyfriend, yeah.
Got it. That's not always a good mix.
Trinity.
Right. The Trinity, right. So now you heard the soothing voice of Paul Babiak coming back from the commercial. And you and I wanted to talk tonight about perhaps some of the ways that you applied or maybe didn't apply some of the things that he has mentioned in previous shows.
Yes. His 6 ways to defend yourself from psychopathy. Do this and don't do that, because that's good for you. Yeah.
Right. And you had heard these, I imagine, probably a few months back then on the show. Because
I think it was more than a few months back. But yeah, it was sort of a few months back. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you could do this for us, then could you take us through? There's 6 points, right? Were there 6?
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about all 6?
We could. Hopefully, we have the time. Or has got some notes.
Okay. We'll just start.
Does someone in the studio have the list that they want to put to me, kind of one to one?
Okay. We'll just go ahead and start with the first one, then tell us what it was, and then tell us how you either did or didn't kind of apply this to your own situation.
So that was the first one. Trust, but verify.
Trust, but verify.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We all remember that so well.
Mm-hmm.
We all remember how Dr. Paul Babiak said just simple stuff, really, that when you meet someone, just Google them to see maybe what kind of profile they have and just sort of check that they are really who they say they really are.
Right.
I did not do that.
Mm.
Well, maybe I met him from work, right? And I know I started dating him within only a few weeks of knowing him, which was maybe quite unusual, because if he wasn't from work, I probably would have waited for a year or something.
Mm.
But maybe I just sort of decided that because he was from work, the human resources would have checked him already.
Sure.
And he said he was the director of this kind of company, and I assumed that they already checked that.
Right.
But I was wrong, and the company was it was good company, but they were rubbish at checking him. Actually, even his he lied about his age at work to so many people. Even his date of birth was wrong. He deliberately lied about his address and wrote a different one. Just everything was wrong apart from his name, I guess. Well, he used a fake name at church for so many years, but like at work, at least he had to use his legal name. So he didn't lie about his name.
Well, did you ever end up Googling him at some point in the relationship or trying to verify? Or did you do that afterwards?
I did Google him. He had such a very small online profile. But I'll tell you what, Dr. Shuck, because what I really should have done to verify stuff was to go to a system called Companies House. So, hello?
I'm here.
Ah, the line just felt funny. Because he said, like, he was at a pub and he was talking to us and saying he was the director of a construction company.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a Companies House system. They've got offices in Cardiff and in London, and there's an online directorship search, or you could go to an office in London or Cardiff, I think it's about £1 or £2 to do a directorship search. You just put in somebody's name, and then it's just going to pop up as to how many directorships this person holds.
Right, right.
Make sense? Yeah.
So another form of search engine to get at different information, maybe not necessarily like the Facebooking or whatever, but again, more towards business dealings or whatever, or
yeah, it's very very different from Facebooking. I mean, Facebooking can be useful in its way. So I'll tell you what, Dr. Shirk. Mm-hmm. I found something on Companies House a couple of months ago.
Okay.
I found someone with the same name, kind of like a similar location in that part of the country, and with a different date of birth.
Okay. Yeah, don't use any names, but what did you find, or what sort of information did it provide?
It's a bit suspicious. I think he, possibly that's a different person, or he has filed official papers lying about something. Sorry, I'm taking forever with the first point.
No, that's okay. No, I think we get the point, though. So you trusted but did not verify, and you ended up doing your verification much later on. And, you know, I mean,
it was all a huge mess. And the thing is, it was a good company, but I shouldn't have delegated the responsibility of checking to them when they were no good at it, really.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to the second one, then. What about the second one?
If you're falling for someone too easily, back off and go slower.
Okay.
I did this, so it was a yes.
Oh, you did this? Okay. So tell me a little bit about that.
I wouldn't say, like, I know my case is different in that it wasn't a love bombing relationship. It was not a whirlwind romance.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying to me that I didn't, but I know that I did back off and go slower. It was quite a slow relationship, really, in a way, in many ways, like the lack of restaurant dates or
right,
the lack of seeing each other's family and things like that. So I did that, and I still got into
loads
of trouble.
How did you back off? What did you do to sort of put the brakes on?
I would say that I never even put the brakes on, in the sense that it was just a slow relationship,
mm-hmm.
As by default, because he was constantly seeing me in the evenings after work. Well, when he was busy, in inverted commas, maybe seeing me only once a week or only once every 2 weeks, and maybe like phoning and emailing. And then he would lie and say that he would run off to take care of his restaurant businesses, his three restaurants, when actually he never owned them, never had anything to do with them. It's just we didn't even have a cinema date, and we didn't even have a restaurant date. I didn't even see his family. Like, he was talking about his brothers, said lots of nice things about his mom, but I never saw his family, and went to his church 10 times, and he said I was friends. It was not like, this this is my girlfriend or whatever.
Right.
So that's categorically slow, isn't it? I mean, it's not like...
I suppose. Yeah, it's not like he's bringing you home to meet his mom on the second date, right?
Exactly. And he pretty much set the agenda that, oh, come on, I needed to get a new job at that point in my life, and I needed to do a home removal as well, make mm-hmm. the arrangements, mm-hmm. find a new tenancy. And actually, he sounded really caring. He said, well, this should be your priority, not me, not your boyfriend. Right. And that sounded really feasible. Well, that sounded sensible. I even thought he was caring, but...
Right.
Psychopath. He just wanted it to be like we were not an item. I mean, we were dating, but we were not an item.
Sure. So we got only a couple minutes left. Then Jane, why don't you give me one more and tell me how you did or didn't apply it to your situation?
Never lend people money. Never give people access to my credit cards or computer passwords. Never sign contracts for other people and don't let them move in. Yes, I did that.
I avoided
lending him money, giving him credit cards.
At what point was he asking you for your credit card information?
Sorry?
At what point did he begin asking you for credit card information? Or did he?
Oh, no, he never did.
Did he ask you for money?
No. In fact, every now and then he would treat me to supper, maybe 4 or 5 pounds, and I declined, saying, oh, I don't really want to spend... your money.
How much is 4 or 5 pounds in American money?
I don't really know.
Do you know?
Chantel, Gigi, so help.
Do ladies know?
No.
Is it 2 pounds per dollar?
I think it's about double. Maybe 1.8.
So he offered
I think it is.
He offered you a $10 meal, is what you're saying?
Not even a significant amount of money, but wow. I was saying, I don't really want to spend your money. Kind of, I was cherishing him. But
I would have said I want to spend more of your money. Right? Bring it up to the 50-pound range.
Whoa. I'm not that kind of person. Oh, I don't know. But anyway, I did exactly what Paul Babiak said.
Right. And you didn't lend him and you didn't give out your financial information. That's good. Yeah.
That's good. But yeah. I was still in loads of trouble. So next one, look for the expressions of true emotions.
Well, I was going to say, Jane, we're running out of time here, but I'm thinking, well, let's bring you back on again in a couple of weeks, and maybe you can go over the rest of them. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
That sounds good?
Sorry, have I gone on about, like...
No. I mean, you know, the time always goes quickly on this show. Right?
Yeah, it does.
We want to thank you so much for calling in and arranging your schedule so that you can do so. We really do appreciate it.
Okay, well, it was nice to be back. Okay,
Jane, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Aftermath Radio, we'll be right back here on K-Beach.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
That's us, Aftermath Radio. Dr. Robert Shug, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State. Please do call us at area code 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. And when I say please, I really mean that. Chantal looks bored over there. No one's chatting with Chant today, right? At Skype, aftermath.radio. Or are they? You're just keeping it to yourself.
No one's chatting with me.
Is anyone tweeting?
We're
tweeting out.
Yes.
Okay,
remember,
very good.
Follow us at Aftermath Radio. On Twitter.
Is that how they do it?
Yeah.
These kids on the Twitter, it's like, you know, so I'm totally lost.
Yeah.
I think so. Right. You can email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com and go to our website, aftermathradio.org. We have on the line Dr. Jill Rickey, who is a licensed psychologist in Tallahassee, Florida. She's in private practice and specializes in the treatment of victims of violent crime, including domestic violence, sexual violence, and stalking. Her other areas of expertise include post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, and eating disorders. She's on the board of directors for the Florida Psychological Association and is a volunteer for the Red Cross Mental Health Disaster Services. Jill, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing really well. So you got the night off from baseball games?
Yes, there's no baseball game tonight, and we've had so much rain in Tallahassee that the parks are flooded.
So it wouldn't be much fun anyway if they were having them.
They probably would have canceled it. They have a game. Maybe if it stops raining, they'll play tomorrow night.
Okay, good. Well, we'll hope so. So tonight we're talking about when the psychopath leaves you, what to expect, and how to gain your sanity back. And I guess the first question I want to pose to you is what do I do when I thought our relationship was fine, and out of the blue he tells me he wants a divorce? And not just me, but just sort of hypothetically.
Right. What I would do is you let yourself feel the pain as the person that is being left. Talk to a professional. You can ask the person, the psychopath, why are you doing this to me? But the answer they will give you will not make any sense at all. They will blame you. They will justify and rationalize the reason. And what I try to tell the people I work with is that it will get better over time. The psychopath might agree to go to counseling with them, but that will just be something that they do to appease you. And then they'll go for a few sessions, and then they'll say to you after a few sessions, well, I went, but it didn't help, and I still want the divorce. Mm. So it appears to be genuine, but it really is not genuine at all. And what I recommend is instead of going to couples counseling, instead spend your money on treatment for yourself.
Interesting. Okay. And then what do I do when I'm the person that has always been in therapy and he calls me, quote-unquote, the crazy one?
Well, and that happens so often. So many patients will come to my office and say, you know, my husband thinks I'm nuts, and so I'm here, and, you know. And so what I try, you know, fortunately I understand psychopathy, but I would recommend to other people to find a professional that understands psychopathy and the impact that it has on a relationship. Because through the course of treatment, as you get further away from the psychopath, like after they've left and time goes on, you start to see that you're feeling crazy was directly related to your relationship with the psychopath.
Mm.
Like, for instance, you probably never got your needs met. You were always taking care of their needs, but it was never enough. And so you were always so busy focusing on them and paying attention to them, but it was still always your fault. And you were constantly pretty much apologizing for things that really didn't make sense to you, but it became somewhat normal. Like the psychopath, the person, I feel, reshapes your norms. Like what was normal before you met this person, and what you're doing now in a relationship is totally different. So I guess what I would say is what you're putting up with at the end of the relationship with the psychopath is something that you probably would never have tolerated prior to the relationship began, but they were so good at manipulating you and coercing you into doing for them that you totally lost touch with who you were as a person.
Mm. Gee, did you have a question?
No, I was just giving you the time.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like the craziness is in some sense it's valid, but it's really due to kind of what's going on in the relationship and not getting your own needs met.
Right.
Okay. And then why does he think that I treated him so badly for the past few years, and is that his excuse for divorce? I'm sorry.
Well, because a psychopathic person has a truly sense of entitlement, and they feel that pretty much everyone owes them and the world revolves around their needs. So they truly believe that you did not give them the attention or the time, and they feel justified in telling you this. Even though, you know, you can document, I did this and this and this for you, it's never enough. The way the psychopathic person treated you in the beginning of the relationship is not the way that they treated you at the end. So, like I said, they would use charisma, manipulation, and lies to get you to the place that they want you, and then the real self starts coming out. And by this time, you've already kind of fallen under their spell. And you keep hoping for that old person to come back, but they will continue to say that you haven't done enough for me, you've been abusive to me. And that abusive in their mind is not abusive in your mind. And so that's what's so difficult for people who are with the psychopath to understand, is they just assume the psychopath feels the same way that they feel in a relationship, and it really isn't like that at all.
Just a little off topic here, Jill. How many folks do you see actually get to this point that we're talking about now, where they're actually leaving and actually dealing with these issues that you're talking about? Is that common, or is that more rare?
No, it's pretty common. Like, I know the last two podcasts I talked about when you leave the psychopath, but I would say more often than not, the psychopath leaves you because they're tired of it, especially if you have children together. They're tired of not being number one, of not being the king, and so they end up leaving the person.
Mm, okay.
Or they have an affair, or they have other relationships, and they feel justified in that.
Right. Well, okay, so then back to the topic then. Why does he have these anger outbursts all the time?
Well, I believe that a psychopathic individual tends to only feel anger and lust as far as emotions. And the anger that they feel can be expressed either overtly or passive-aggressive. And what I mean like that is an overt aggression would be like, say, screaming, yelling, name-calling. They use a lot of cuss words, very degrading words to call their wife. That's where so many of the women that I've worked with, they were so ashamed of this. And if I suggested the word, they were like so relieved that I even knew what it was. And I'm pretty much talking about the C word. That word is like the worst word for most women to feel, and they are shocked that their husband can use that word. And when a person's passive-aggressive, what they will typically do is they'll use silence and ignore you as a means of control and punishment for not doing what you were supposed to do or not behaving or acting in the manner that they expected you to act. So it's like there are not conventional rules of behavior. These are psychopaths' own selfish rules. So like our societal rules that we all believe are different than the psychopath's rules. And the person adapts to those rules over the course of the relationship and learns how to not upset them. Learns how to not upset them to keep their anger at bay. The other thing I think about anger, it's a form of revenge that they will act out on their partner, which will then restore any of their narcissistic equilibrium that they felt was disrupted when you did not do what you were supposed to do according to them. I know that sounds like psychobabble, but it's hard to explain it. But that
made sense to me.
Like revenge.
Right.
And then they feel better because they just squelched person down, and they never apologize for what they do.
Right. Well, why does he then seem so disinterested in the children?
The psychopathic person, I think, or I believe, has children in order to pretty much populate the world with their seed. They like to reproduce, but they tend to not have much interest in the daily care that children require, and they will get jealous of like the attention that their own children get from you and punish you by not helping. So when you're with the psychopath isn't helping you do the child care, and they will ignore you and punish you because you're ignoring them in their mind. But what they forget as an adult, the psychopath is the adult, they forget that the children need to be cared for. They are not independent people yet. Another thing is the children will be a reflection of him, like if they excel in anything, like if the kid is like the star baseball player, the psychopath will be really proud of that person. And then if another child doesn't excel in anything, they will virtually be ignored. But another thing I've noticed is the psychopath does not want their child to be better or more successful than they are. And as a result of that, there will be neglectful and absent. It's almost like a competition thing. As a child becomes closer to an adult and teenage year, it's like the psychopath is having a hard time with them being successful, where most of us want our kids to be more successful than
right,
us.
Right, right.
We want them to have a better life, where I find the psychopath does not at all. It's jealous of that.
Wow. Jill, we got to take a break. Can you hang on for another segment?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Aftermath Radio, we'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shugg Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
At the risk of being crude, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover.
You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself.
There you go, some theme music. Aftermath Radio. Doctor. Oh, wow, that was a pretty.
I didn't fade out, I'm sorry.
You want to try it again? Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind.
That experience.
All right. That's Paul Simon, by the way. I didn't know it was Paul Simon until today, until you looked it up for me.
Well, I'm assuming it's Paul Simon.
Right. Okay. Aftermath Radio. Dr. Robert Shugg, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology. Call us at area code 562-912-3541. 562-912-3541. We have on the line Dr. Jill Rickey, licensed psychologist from Tallahassee, Florida, talking about when the psychopath leaves you, what to expect, and how to gain your sanity back. Now, Jill, when we left off, we were talking about children and the psychopath being disinterested in children and why that is. So my next question is, why does he want then equal custody of the children and he's never around and never has been?
Well, he says he wants equal custody because that's what society expects him to say. So this kind of makes him look good and normal to his attorney because he's trying to fool his attorney at this point too. Another point is when there's equal custody, there might not be any child support. So if a parent has, if it's on paper that 50-50 time, there is no child support. And, you know, many states don't even have alimony anymore, depending on how long they've been married. And what I try to tell people is that the psychopath has not been involved with the children's needs on a daily basis. So just because he might get awarded maybe 40% and you get 60%, mm-hmm. I try to tell them, don't worry, because they're really not going to have them. They'll never happen that much of the time, and you'll, even though the court order states that that's the case, rarely does it ever happen because they don't have time. They don't have time in their lives to take care of a child 40% of the time.
So it's more about getting the financial arrangement than necessarily the time spent with the children.
Right. It has nothing to do with the kids at all. It's about making themselves look good, getting even with their spouse, and not having to pay money.
Got it. Then how does one, or how do I deal with his lies then? Because we know they lie.
Right. Well, it's difficult because most people do not lie very well, but the psychopath is a master at it. So once you're at this place that you're leaving, that the divorce is in process, is always assume that he's not telling the truth, stop listening to his words, and do not engage in power struggles with him. They will accuse you of the things that they are doing. And so what I try to get people to do is to stop defending yourself and do not engage with them. Because if you don't engage in conversation with them, they can't hurt you and destroy you, which is what they're trying to do.
Wow. Okay. So no contact, the no contact rule we hear about often on the show.
Right. Except the hard thing is when there are kids involved, you have to talk. And so there's going to be these lies. And so what I just tell them is just assume whatever he's telling you is a lie. And it doesn't matter. Just like respond with, okay, whatever. You know, just don't engage.
Right. Right. Okay. So do I tell my children the truth about, quote unquote, why daddy left?
No, I don't think so, because the kids will pretty much think that it's their fault because they've heard his complaints about having to go to this game or having to go here or having to go to this recital. So they, even though you tell them that, they will still think it's their fault. So depending on their ages, it's probably best just to tell them that we do not get along well together anymore and we don't want you to be exposed to this type of behavior, that mommy and daddy aren't treating each other very well. So I try to get them to do that, and that I tell them to make sure that they tell the kids that mommy and daddy both love you, but we'll just live in different houses. And as the kids age, they will see for themselves the way in which the psychopath treats them, their mom, and other people, and they will finally get it. So you don't want to burden them with this information about their dad at an early age.
And kids are pretty perceptive, too. I mean, they can pick up on a lot of things that we don't necessarily think they can.
Right.
And
if you
just sort of let it play out on its own, you think that they're going to get the overall main idea of what happened?
Yes, because the psychopath will typically try to triangulate the children into what's mommy doing. Even though they might have girlfriend after girlfriend, they still want to, like, spy on their ex-spouse just
right.
to see what she's doing.
Right. Okay, so then how do I handle the interaction with myself and their dad?
What I try to ask them to do is just be kind, just, you know, kill them with kindness. Try not to be mean in front of the children, and do not ever say bad things about their dad, because in the end they will respect you. They will figure out how their dad is later. And I tell them that if you can't communicate civilly, and, you know, together, then do it through your attorney or email or texting. But the other thing is emails and texts are an excellent means of gathering evidence if you need it. If you need to show the judge, look, my husband is never around, or he's calling me 25 times a day, accusing me of this, accusing me of that. So it's like if they harass you, which a lot of them do, they're doing it through social media or through technology, which is really good evidence to take to a judge. The other thing is I recommend people delete and blocking the psychopath's Facebook, because most people have that now, and it's difficult for some people to not go to their, even though they're severed, their spouse's web thing and look at his pictures or his nude feed, and it's just kind of, it just tortures you with right. his new life and relationship. So I just say, just delete it. You don't need to know what he's doing. It doesn't matter.
Okay, and then we've got about maybe 2 minutes left here then, Jill. So how do I manage my anger and feelings of guilt and shame for staying with my abusive partner?
I would say talk to a professional that understands psychopathy. Be glad that you're out of the relationship. Time will help you heal. The longer you're away from the psychopath, the easier it will be to see the lies, the manipulation, and the abuse. Forgive yourself. We can all be manipulated by a psychopath. Try to stay in treatment for at least a year to recover your self-esteem. Be around friends and family that uplift you and support you. Mm. Develop some new hobbies and maybe interests that you did not have time for because you were so focused on taking care of the psychopath's needs.
Right.
Just work on getting yourself physically healthy through exercise, healthy food choices, and I guess what I'd say, give yourself permission to not date anyone for at least a year so that you can recover from the trauma that you experienced in this relationship.
Right, right. And then this, I guess this kind of dovetails with what you just said, but what can I do to feel better about myself now that they're gone or that I've left?
Well, like I said, stay in treatment for a year, try to recover your self-esteem, make new friends, get rid of toxic friends that only care about themselves. You know, in time, you will be glad that he wanted out, as long as you are taking care of yourself. And like I said, through time, as you recover and you're around family and friends who support you, and you are able to kind of rehash the relationship through a trained professional that understands psychopathy, you will see it much more clearly. Everything will make sense as to why you always felt like you were crazy, why you always felt like nothing was good enough, because it will, like over time and distance from the psychopath, it will just make sense and you'll be able to move on with your life.
Right. Okay, Jill, as usual, just fantastic stuff here. And I was actually mentioning earlier about how you are regularly contacted now by folks listening to your podcasts.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, in terms of reaching out to the folks in your area of the country, it seems to be working really well. Mm-hmm. And I want to definitely thank you for taking the time to come on.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
That was Dr. Jill Ricky, licensed psychologist from Tallahassee, Florida. What is that noise that always happens there?
I can't hang up the phone, undo the queue, and all that at the same time. I only have two hands.
You just need three hands.
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
I need an extra.
Well, look, Chantal before had her hands all over that board, right?
And like, well, she called me right now. I was talking without my mic on because I need an extra hand.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so next week, really happy to have Dr. Robert Hare coming on. Not sure exactly what he's going to talk about, but it's definitely going to be related to psychopathy. And just, I think having him on is going to be pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Agreed. Super excited.
And in the meantime, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can always leave us voicemails at 562-912-3541. You can leave a voicemail for Dr. Robert Hare if you'd like. We'll play it on the air. Yeah. As long as there's no profanity, right?
Yes.
We'll even play those. We'll beep it out,
yeah.
Right? Very good. You know, and Skype us at aftermath.radio. Same thing. Leave us voice messages. And as always, you know, email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. Visit us on the website at aftermathradio.org. Lots of really good stuff on that website. And actually, I forgot to say that I did approach the Executive Committee of Aftermath this past week about the merchandising.
Oh.
And it seems like they're on board with the idea.
There
so
is.
Cool.
We'll just see about that. I like the two-faced coffee mug idea and the the T-shirt and maybe the pin. Hello, I'm a psychopath.
Yeah. Question before we take off. Is there a way to link our Twitter to our Aftermath website?
I don't know.
We should.
You guys are like the...
Okay. Remind me later that we should do that because then our feed will show up on our website.
Hey, G.
Yes. Not
link,
now.
Link,
not
link
now. Later.
I was like, where is he going with this?
I know. I already knew.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week, Aftermath Radio, here on K-Beach.
You've been listening to Aftermath Radio, production of the K-Beach radio station at California State University, Long Beach. Produced in association with AftermathSurvivingPsychopathy.org. Your host has been Dr. Robert Shug. Your producers have been Brian Frederick, Chantel Fahmy, and Gurjeet Brar. Join us next Monday at 4 p.m. for another exciting episode. If you or someone you know has been victimized and you'd like to talk to someone, call the Cal State Long Beach Counseling and Psychological Services number at 562-985-4001.